Mi chiamo Apura Kanu Apura Kaitnut. Medende Ujira Fo Kwesi Radnehmta Akan. Akpamu Mayana Maruka Etifi Mu Ujira Fo. Ujira Mai Mu. That means greetings to all Apura Kani Apura Kaitnut. People meaning African black people. My name is Ujira Fo Kwesi Radnehmta Akan. Ujira Fo of the Akpamu Nation in North America. Within Ujira Mai. The purified nation Apura Kani Apurai Kaitnit people in the Western Hemisphere. Yet I say we thank you once again for tuning into our broadcast. This is a special broadcast of Ojida Purification. This is an Awusida or a Sunday broadcast. We typically have four broadcasts on a weekly basis. We have Akanfo Nanasom, Ancient Authentic Akan Ancestor Religion on Joda on Monday nights, where we deal specifically with the Akan expression of ancestry religion, first and foremost, because we are Akan. Secondly, because of the misinformation being propagated regarding Akan ancestry religion, cosmology, culture, ritual practice, not only from individuals in the Western Hemisphere, but also from individuals on the continent of Apuraka, Apurai Kayat, Africa, who have been infected with white culture, pseudo-fake religions such as Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and so forth, and white culture in general, and therefore those expressions of culture and cosmology maintain that infection when they're transferred to us when we're seeking information. So we deal with ancient, authentic Akan ancestral religion, which deals with our ancestral origins from ancient Kanat, the Khan land, the first land, the foremost land, which is a title of Nubia. Our people originated in ancient Kanat, the Khan land, after years of invasions about 2,000 years ago. Some of our people migrated from that region of Apuraka, Afraikai, which is now Sudan, as well as parts of Kemet, so-called Egypt. We migrated to the western part of the continent, reestablished ourselves, and reestablished the Kanat Empire, later called the Empire of Akara or Ghana. We continued the civilization centuries after that, subsequent to that, because of invasions. Some of our people migrated further south towards the forest belt and savanna regions in the areas of contemporary Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, and Republic of Ghana. And we reestablished Akana or Akan civilization in those regions. And centuries after that, some of our people were taken from those regions and forced into North, Central, South America, the Caribbean, and Europe during the Musuo-Kessier, the Great Perversity, the Enslavement Era. And this is how we ended up in the Western Hemisphere. However, our people maintained our ancestral religion, Akan ancestral religion, Akanfo Nanasom. And we were empowered and guided by the Abosom, the deities, the forces in nature connected to us, and the Nanano Nsamanfo, our spiritually cultivated ancestresses and ancestors. We were empowered and guided by them on the best means by which to wage war against the whites and their offspring, using metal armaments as well as chemical and biological warfare. And through those methods, we waged war to force the end of enslavement in the Western Hemisphere. We maintain our Akan ancestry religion, for example, in Suriname, under the form of Winti, which is from the Akan term Huinti. In Guyana, Akan ancestral religion is called Komfa, from the Akan term Komfo. In Jamaica, Akan ancestral religion is called Obia, from the Akan term Obai. In the United States, Akan ancestral religion is called Hudu, from the Akan term Undu, meaning medicine from roots, trees, plant life. It also means to become heavy with the spirit through spirit possession and spirit communication. So we utilize Hudu in the capacity of root work to wage chemical and biological warfare against our enemies, the whites and their offspring, to force the end of enslavement, as well as taking up metal armaments to wage war directly. So this is what we deal with on Akanfo Nanasom, Ancient Authentic Akan Ancestral Religion on Jodan Monday nights, that broadcast. On Awukuda, Akuada Wednesday nights, we have Egua Marketplace, where we showcase Apurakani, Apurakani, you know, African black businesses, organizations, and institutions, those who are serving the Apurakani, Afraikani community in a positive capacity, those who maintain their ancestral religious values in the context of their service to the community. And we also have our OCOM economic development model, which is our approach to economic development rooted in our ancestral religious values. We have published that document. You can download that from the website. You can also see all of the archives of and listen to all of the archives of our 350 plus broadcasts that we've done to date on Yauda, which is also called Yada or Abada. Thursday night, we have Amain Sim, Affairs of the Nation, where we deal with nation building, Amaniye, Amain Sessu's nation building restoration rooted in our ancestral religious values. We deal with issues that are confronting us as an Omain, as Ujiramain, the purified nation, Afuraikani people in the Western Hemisphere. We recognize that we have a unique expression of Afuraikani, Afuraikaitni culture, African Black culture. We recognize the proper identity or nature or function of an Omain, a nation in the true sense. An Omain is a living, breathing entity, just like an organ is a living, breathing entity, and the cells of that organ, they work together harmoniously to support not only themselves, but also the greater entity of which they are component part. And they operate in harmony with that greater entity and the energetic force that governs that greater entity. We as Afuraikani, Afuraikani people, ourselves within the great divine body of the Supreme Being, some of us have been forced into the Western Hemisphere, of course, but at some point being guided by our ancestresses and ancestors, our Nanano Nsamampo, our spiritually cultivated ancestresses and ancestors, we were directed to coalesce in a specific region of the Earth Mother's body, blend ancestral blood circles in that region, interface with the unique expression of the Abosom, of the Orisha, of the Vodou, of the Arusi, of the divinities as they manifest in this region of the Earth Mother's body, interface with the unique expression of Asaseya-Fua and Asaseya, the two Earth Mother divinities, and how they manifest in this region of this part of the planet and so forth. Also dealing with the plant life, animal life, mineral life to procure for medicine as well as for strengthening and nutrition and so forth, how we interface with this region of the Earth Mother's body, blending ancestral blood circles, bringing ancestresses and ancestors back through these blended ancestral blood circles in this unique environment that allowed us to forge a locative identity, a unique expression of Afuraikani, Afuraikani culture born of our blended ancestral blood circles in this region of Asaseya-Fua and Asaseya, the Earth Mother divinities. So we therefore have a unique expression of ancestral culture as Afuraikani, Afuraikani people in the West. And we have a unique expression of how to deal with our issues. We approach all of our issues from an Amaniye perspective, meaning a nationist perspective. We deal with Amaniye nationism, the purification of nationalism, an approach to nation building rooted in our ancestral religious values, understanding the true nature of what an Omain, a nation, is, a living, breathing entity. We ourselves within that organal structure, and we serve that greater organal structure and the Abosom, the forces in nature that govern that organal structure. So that's what we deal with on Amain Sim, Affairs of the Nation. On Benada, Abinada, Tuesday night, we have Ojida, which means purification. We deal with the purification of cosmology, purification of culture, purification of ancestral religious practice, and so forth. We deal with ancestral religion, of course, because when you look around the world, 5.6, 5.7 billion people identify themselves as Christians or Muslims or so-called Jews or Hindus or Buddhists, and hundreds of millions of those people are our people. If you do not deal with the one entity that's controlling the minds of the mass majority of our people worldwide, then any talk of liberation, any talk of development, any talk of establishing independence and sovereignty and being secure in that sovereignty is foolish. If you're not controlling your own mind because you've been controlled by these fake pseudo-religions with the fictional cartoon characters who never existed, Jesus, Yeshua, Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Solomon, Sheba, Menelik, Muhammad, Buddha, Brahman, Mahavira, Allah, Yahweh, all of these fictional cartoon character foolish entities who never existed of any form of or of any race. If you don't deal with that, expose that foolishness and eradicate it and get back to our ancestral religious practices, then any talk of liberation or freedom or independence is foolish. It's null and void. So we deal with Ojida, which means purification. Our ancestral religious practices impact every aspect of our lives. Our ancestral religious culture, or ancestral culture in general, is properly defined as the divine acceptance, the divine law, love of order, and the divine rejection, the hatred of disorder and its purveyors. So when we deal with ancestral religion, we're talking about expansive and contractive poles. The expansive and contractive poles of ancestral religion is the ritual incorporation of divine law and the ritual restoration of divine balance. As Apuraikani Apuraikaini people, we seek to align every thought, every intention, and every action, every moment of every day with divine order. When we make legitimate mistakes, then we engage the ritual process to incorporate law and the ritual process to restore balance where imbalance has occurred so we can get back on track in aligning every thought, intention, and action with divine order. So when we talk about Ojida, we state that Ojida purification operationalizes Nanason. Purification, Ojida, operationalizes our practice of ancestral religion, the ritual incorporation of divine law, and the ritual restoration of divine balance. So we want to purify concepts, purify cosmology, purify the understanding of our ritual practices. So when we engage life every moment of every day and we're seeking to align every thought, intention, and action with divine order every moment of every day, and when we make legitimate mistakes, we have mechanisms in place to correct ourselves and get back on track with divine order. This is how ancestral religion impacts every aspect of our lives. So this is what we deal with. That's typically on Benada, Abenada Tuesday night. Tonight is a special broadcast of Ojida. Today is Awusida, which is Sunday. And it's apropos to have this particular broadcast. We want to address this notion of what we call the title of the broadcast. You see, the title of the broadcast is Awisi Sem 13,019, the new 11-year sunspot cycle, and the 11 Akradin boson. When we talk about the Akradin boson in the Akan tradition, the Abosom is the term for the deities, the divine spirit forces in creation that animate the solar, lunar, planetary bodies, the black substance of space, suns, moons, stars, all aspects of creation. They are the divine organs within the great divine body of Nyamewa and Nyame, the great mother and great father, supreme being, who's also called Amenet and Amen in ancient Kemet, and Mawu and Lisa and Vodun, and Olokun and Olorun in the Yoruba tradition, and Komosu and Chukwu in Igbo, and so forth. But that's what the Abosom are. There's a special grouping of Abosom called the Akradin Bosom, these 11 divinities, male and female divinities, who animate the solar, lunar, and planetary bodies that govern the seven-day week in Akan culture. And of course, as we've shown in our books, Akan people established the seven-day week tens of thousands of years ago, and we carried that tradition when we migrated into the Near East before the whites and their offspring existed on Earth. We perpetuated that when the whites and their offspring came in contact with us first in the Near East. They came in contact with the seven-day week and so forth. They came in contact with other calendrical cycles that we utilize as well, like a four-day market week, an eight-day market week, and so forth. But at some point, they also came in contact with us utilizing the seven-day week, and they took that on as well, of course, in a corrupt fashion. That's how they received it. But we had that process from the beginning. It deals with the deities, the actual divinities, the forces in nature that animate the solar, lunar, and planetary bodies. They also govern the 11 major body systems within our bodies as Apuraikani, Apuraikani people. They also govern the 11 major body systems of Earth. Within Afuraikani, Afuraikani people only, African black people only, these 11 major body systems are shrines for these 11 deities, these 11 Abosom. The endocrine system, governed by Awusi, the reproductive system governed by Ajua, the immune system governed by Bena, the lymphatic system governed by Abina, the nervous system governed by Awuku, the renal system, excretory system governed by Akua, the circulatory system governed by Yao, the digestive system governed by Ya, the respiratory system governed by Aba, the exocrine system governed by Afi, and the skeletal system governed, as well as central nervous system governed by Amin Men. These 11 divinities govern these 11 body systems. So when you study the Akradin Bosom, you're studying astronomy, you're studying biology, you're studying astrophysics, you're also studying geology. They govern the 11 major quote-unquote body systems of the Earth Mother, the Black Earth, the river waters, the core of Earth, the ionosphere, thermosphere, the inner core of Earth, the red earth and so forth, the rain waters, as well as the dew and the cloud formations and so forth, the atmosphere, the outer core of Earth, the stratosphere, the polar axis, the magnetosphere, and so forth. These same divinities that govern these various features of Earth. And this deals directly with their all natural cycles in creation, but that includes this natural cycle as well. So the 11 Akradin Bosom govern those 11 body systems. They govern the 7-day week. The 7-day week is connected to our chronobiological cycle, the circadian cycle called the circa septin cycle, which means circa about septin, seven, meaning circa septin about seven, meaning about 7 days. There's a series of biological processes that repeat themselves about every 7 days within the body that correlates with the 7-day week cycle and so forth. But then these 11 divinities, male and female, will govern that 7-day cycle. There's also a greater 11-year cycle. The sunspot cycle is an 11-year cycle, and it's directly related to the Akradin Bosom. We call the broadcast Awusi Sem, one of the titles of Awusi or Asi, which is Asir or Asar in the Akan tradition. He's called Awusi when he's connected with Awu, the one who dies and resurrects. But then Awi, Asi, Awi means the ethereal matter in space, in the atmosphere. Awia or Aria means the sun. And we're talking about Ariasi or Awisi, this aspect of Asar operating through the sun. When Asar or Awusir operates through the sun, he's the major Abosom male divinity who is operating through Sunday. People born on his day are called Kwa Asi, or servants or subjects, Kwa of Asi or Kwasi or Kwesi and so forth. And then on the female side, you have Essi, which is a title of Aset when she's operating through in harmony with Riot on Sunday. So women are called Akuswia, also Akwesi Ba, also Essi and so forth, born on Sunday. So this is Awusida or Awisida, Sunday, the day of the sun. We're talking about Awisi Sem, the affairs, the matters, Asem of Awisi, the divinity Asar, who's operating in connection with Ra. In ancient Kemetis called Asar Ra, when he's operating in harmony with the deity Ra, when they're working together in the same body. Asar and Ra is no different than in spirit possession. When someone's possessed by a deity, we always use the example of someone driving a car and they stop and someone enters the vehicle. The original driver goes to the passenger side, or they go get in the back seat and the person who just entered the car takes the wheel. Now you have two individuals in the same vehicle. One individual is in the back seat observing, and the other individual has the wheel and is taking on control of the direction of the vehicle. And at some point, that person stops controlling the direction of the vehicle and departs the vessel, and the original driver gets back in the front seat. That's exactly what takes place when someone is possessed by a deity. When drumming, ritual drumming is happening, a ritual dance, ritual song, and someone falls into possession, and an Abosom and Orisha of Vodou and Arusi enters the body of the individual, their spirit goes to the background, the Bosom, or the one of the Nsamanfo, the ancestral spirits, or the deities. One of the deities, one of the ancestral spirits possesses. They take the foreground. They are in control of the vehicle. They're operating through the physical body of the individual to lay hands and heal people, admonish, teach, show how to procure medicine, whatever is going on. And then when they depart, the spirit disembarks from that vessel, and the person who's, the individual, their spirit comes back to the foreground. So in the same fashion, the Abosom possess the planets. The planets, the sun, moon, stars, the planets and so forth, they are possessed of the divinities. They are shrines for the deities, just like your organs are shrines, centers of resonance for the various divinities. Our organ systems, our 11 major organ systems, are shrines or centers of resonance for the Abosom, for the divinities. In the same fashion, the sun, moon, planets, and so forth, stars are shrines for these divinities. The deities possess the sun, possess the moon, and when Asar and Ra are working together through the solar orb, that's Asar Ra is his title, carrying that fiery energy, and that's Sunday, that's today. This is why we're dealing with this on this special day, and because of what's coming up. So, first, we're going to talk about the sunspot cycle. It's an 11-year cycle, and then talk about the relationship of the 11-year sunspot cycle to the 11 Akradin boson. The reason why it's important to talk about it now is because we're coming to the end of the 11-year cycle this year and the beginning of a new 11-year cycle in this year of 13,019, what the whites and their offspring call 2000. And 19. There are major shifts that take place within each 11-year cycle. And then there's a total cycle of 22 years, but that 11-year cycle, every 11 years, there's a major shift that takes place. It's the shift that takes place on Earth, but also within your physical body, also within our community, also within our culture. So first, let's get into what a solar cycle is, just so people are clear. So when you see sunspots, first day in the beginning of, at the solar minimum, there are a few sunspots that show up on the face of the sun and so forth. And then all of a sudden, as the years progress, this 11-year cycle, it goes from, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11 to 100, 150, 180 sunspots and so forth. So people began to recognize what was taking place. A peak in the sunspot count is referred to as a time of solar maximum or solar max, whereas a period when few sunspots appear is called a solar minimum. Given some basic information, the sun is electrically charged hot gas. This charged gas moves, generating a powerful magnetic field. The sun's magnetic field goes through a cycle called the solar cycle. Every 11 years or so, the sun's magnetic field completely flips. This means that the sun's north and south poles switch places. Then it takes about another 11 years for the sun's north and south poles to flip back again. The solar cycle affects activity on the surface of the sun, such as sunspots, which are caused by the sun's magnetic fields. As the magnetic fields change, so does the amount of activity on the sun's surface. One way to track the solar cycle is by counting the number of sunspots. The beginning of a solar cycle is a solar minimum, or when the sun has the least sunspots over time, solar activity and a number of sunspots increases. The middle of the solar cycle is a solar maximum, or when the sun has the most sunspots. As the cycle ends, it fades back to the solar minimum, and then a new cycle begins. So at the beginning, a small number of sunspots. When you get to the middle of that 11-year period, then that's when the greatest activity is taking place. And then near the end of the 11-year period, then you go back towards that solar minimum. giant eruptions on the sun, such as solar flares and coronal mass ejections, also increase during the solar cycle. These eruptions send powerful bursts of energy and material into space. This activity can have effects on Earth. For example, eruptions can cause lights in the sky called aurora, or impact radio communications. Extreme eruptions can affect electricity grids on Earth. And we want to get more into that because we're talking about the direct impact of these solar flares, magnetic eruptions and so forth, as well as geomagnetic storms and what effect they have on Earth. What are some real world examples of space weather impacts? And when you're talking about geomagnetic storms connected with solar flares and the switch of the North Pole and the South Pole of the sun, the magnetic poles during this 11-year cycle, and from one 11-year cycle to the next, the poles shifting for 11 years and then shifting back and so forth, that affects the geomagnetic storms or space weather. You're talking about interplanetary magnetic, you know, the magnetic field, magnetic storms moving through space and affecting the planets and so forth. What are some real world examples of space weather impacts? September 2nd, 1859, disruption of telegraph service. One of the best known examples of space weather events is the collapse of the Hydro-Québec power network on March 13, 1989, due to geomagnetically induced currents caused by a transformer failure. This event led to a general blackout that lasted more than 9 hours and affected over 6 million people. The geomagnetic storm causing this event was itself the result of a CME or magnetic eruption, coronal magnetic eruption, ejected from the sun on March 9, 1989. Today, airlines fly over 7,500 polar routes per year. These routes take aircraft to latitudes where satellite communication cannot be used, and flight crews must rely instead on high-frequency radio to maintain communication with air traffic control, as required by federal regulation. During certain space weather events, solar energetic particles spiral down geomagnetic field lines in the polar regions, where they increase the density of ionized gas, which in turn affects the propagation of radio waves and can result in radio blackouts. These events can last for several days, during which time aircraft must be diverted to latitudes where satellite communications can be used. Solar flares can also affect GPS signals, electric grids, power grids, and so forth in cities, a number of different effects. If the northern pole and the southern pole of the sun flips within that 11-year period, it's affecting power grids where 6 million people are without power for hours and so forth. What effect is that coronal ejection, mass eruption having on your magnetic field? What effect do these solar cycles have upon our people? When you look at the beginning of the solar cycle and then the solar maximum in the middle of that 11-year period, and then the solar minimum once again, once it, you know, goes back to lower activity and so forth at the end of the solar period, solar cycle, sunspot cycle, when you begin to track in your own life what's taking place, you begin to see the effects, not only that it has had on you physically, dealing with whether it's strength, you know, building, muscle building, toning, whatever it is, exercise, the urge to engage, that kind of process, or certain kinds of illnesses. This is the ending of one solar cycle and the beginning of a new solar cycle. So we're at the solar minimum. We're ending an 11-year period this year and beginning a new 11-year period this year. The last 11-year period ended in 13,008, so-called 2008, and began the new solar cycle that we're in 2008, 13,008. Prior to that, the beginning of the previous cycle was around the 96-97 period. So let's, if we look back to that period, for us with regard to Akwamumai and Amaruka et Tifimu, the Akwamu Nation of North America, in 97, at the beginning of that period, that is when we released our first seminal publication, Ubin Shang, The Ancestral Summons. That was the first book, and all of the 31 books that have come after that are grounded in that publication, followed by the Kuku Tuntum, as well as the Wabu Jida. But we released that at the winter solstice, what the whites in our spring will call 1997. For us, it's 12,998 at that point. But it was that beginning of that solar cycle, that sunspot cycle. 11 years later, 13,008, so-called 2008, that was the first release on an Awusida on a Sunday. And that particular Awusida Sunday happened to be my Krada, which is the first Sunday in June and so forth, my soul day, birthday, the first Sunday in June. That beginning of that next solar cycle is when we released the first article on the Akradin Boson. And the article we released was Awusi the Abosom of Awusida and the Sun and Awusida, the Oria and Awusida of the Sun and Sunday. So the very first article detailing the nature of the Akradin Boson published by anyone. No one in the Western Hemisphere has published on the nature of these deities. No one in Ghana or Ivory Coast or anywhere on the continent has published on the nature of these divinities. Some know that seven of them exist, but they don't know the nature of these divinities outside of a few basic attributes like power or bravery or agility and things like that. We published the first seminal work on the Akradin Boson on an Awusida on a Sunday on my Krada, which is Awusida, which is Sunday, talking about the deity Awusida, the deity of the sun, at the beginning of this 11-year sunspot cycle. It was also the first article on the 11 Akradin Boson. 11 years later is this year, and you have seen that we are having our Duba Kun Akradin Boson training intensive and ritual retreats, which will begin next weekend on Memorial Day, which originally was called Decoration Day. It was established by Afurakani people who were soldiers in the Civil War who were honoring their deceased ancestresses and ancestors who fought that war as a war of liberation to free black people. And the whites in our spring later on took it over and started calling it Memorial Day. So we're having the first of those retreats on Duba Kun Akradin Boson training intensive and ritual retreats on next weekend, and they're going to be going every weekend into the summer. Dealing with Duba Kun, the term Duba Kun means 11, talking about the 11 Akradin Boson. We started the first publication on the first year of the new 11-year cycle on a Sunday on an Awusida in 13,008. And now this 11th year, since then we've published 11 articles first. That was the first thing we did over the next few years. So by the time we got to the solar maximum in the middle of the cycle, the beginning of the cycle was 13,008. The middle of the cycle is like 13,013, so-called 2013 and so forth into 2014. By then we had published articles on all 11 deities. Then after that, we published the first book on the Akradin Boson, volume 1. Then we published volume 2 the following year. We are finishing up 3 and 4 right now, and 5 and 6 will be done within the next few weeks. We will have books that cover all 11 deities in this 11th year of this cycle. So we're ending this 11th, you know, the ending this cycle, and we're about to begin a new cycle a little bit in the next few months and so forth. So we're finishing this 11-year period. And we started off this 11-year period with the first article on the Akradian boson. We're finishing this 11-year period with books on each one of these 11 deities, which has never been done by anybody in the Western Hemisphere or on the continent, and going further to prove that Akan people migrated from ancient Kanat, a title of Nubia, to West Afrika, Afrikaiden, into North America, and the Hoodoo tradition and so forth. We've proven that the deities of the 7 days of the week, number one, that they're not just seven, they're actually 11. No one was able to prove that before or even knew that there were 11 until we put that information out. Number two, we also proved that these are the exact same deities with the exact same names, with the exact same functions in creation, operating through the same features of nature that you find in ancient Kemet. And we proved that with the Medutu, the hieroglyphs and so forth, and the language of the Akan and so forth, also into the Hoodoo tradition, the same divinities we've maintained the tradition. So we started that process 13,008 on a Nawusida on a Sunday with the first article. Now we're at the end of that 11-year cycle, and we're finishing that series of books, and we started the institutionalization of the veneration of the Akradim Bosom. Now that we're finishing these publications, now we move forward and begin to institutionalize that process through the Dubako, meaning 11 Akradim Bosom training intensive and ritual retreats that we're having on a weekly basis in different cities. And then, of course, that will be part of our yearly, just like we have yearly conferences and so forth. We have the Hapi Merit Retreat in South Carolina on Edisto Island, one of the Gullah Islands. In February, we have our Echisign Conference, Ancestral Religious Reversion in March. We have our Ujiramain Afashe, our Nationism Conference, dealing with nation building rooted in ancestral religious values on June 22nd. We have the Hoodoo Mind, Hoodoo Nation Festival in October. We have three festival conferences a year, plus our retreat. But now, we are including on the Memorial Day weekend the Akradim Bosom, the Dubako Akradim Bosom training intensive. That will be a yearly gathering and retreat as well. And from this point forward, that will be established firmly. Our people have already been engaging the Akradim Bosom for a number of years. But now we're giving this information and sharing this information with the wider Afurakani Afurakani public. And it also positively informs are people who are part of other Afurakani Afrikaani traditions. When you study the Akradim Bosom, when you study the Abosom, the deities in Akan tradition, and you practice the Juju tradition in North America, which is the Yoruba tradition, and you learn about the Orisha, when you study the Abosom, you're studying the same divinities with a different angle, so you get greater insight into these Orisha that you've been dealing with your entire life by studying how the Akan approached them. When Akan people study the Orisha, the way Juju people or Yoruba people approach them and their angle to approaching them and the kind of symbolism they use, we gain greater insight into the nature of the divinity. We're dealing with the same divinities. We're just different people dealing with the same divinities. It's like the way the Yoruba person would describe the sun with certain proverbial wisdom and certain ritual regalia. Akan people would describe the sun in their own language with their own proverbial wisdom and ritual regalia. And if an Akan person looks at the way the Yoruba person does it, they gain greater insight into some nuanced aspects of the functioning of the divinity. And when a Yoruba person looks at the way the Akan angle is approaching ritual, they gain greater insight into their own tradition because of certain nuances that they may not have paid attention to. So when people practicing Vodou, practicing the Orisha tradition, practicing the Ovambo tradition, practicing Grigri and so forth, the various traditions, when they study the Akradim Bosom and the detail that we give with regard to the nature of these divinities and the way we explain that, they simply gain greater insight into their own tradition. So it's not just for Akan people, it's for Afurakani, Afurakani people wherever we exist in the world, because we're talking about the same forces in nature that govern all of creation, all naturally created entities in creation. So we started that process in 13,008, and now we're at the end of this recent sunspot cycle, and now we're moving into a new cycle with the establishment of the veneration, institutionalizing that veneration of Yathra Din Bosom on a higher level. But when we go back to 13,008, that was the beginning. When we go back previous to that, the previous 11-year cycle, 1997, 13,000 or 12,997 and so forth, that's when we first published the Uben Shang and also established and restored that oracular divination system, Wabo Jira and so forth, and the Uben Shang is part of that. So when you look in your own life, look at the year 1996-97 to 13,008 or so-called 2008. What shifts took place around 97? What shifts took place around quote-unquote 2008? And what shifts are taking place now? And then when you look in between those cycles, like at the midpoint where the solar maximum is hitting, you have 97, the midpoint around 2000, so-called 2004, 2003, 2004, and so forth, or 2002, 2003, the midpoint between 13,008 and today, around 13,013, so-called 2013, 14. What was the shift during the solar maximum period? For us, when we started that process, 13,008, we released the first, you know, article. When we get to 13,013, 14, when we get into to early 13,014 and so forth, you will notice when you look back is when we first released the first series of seven books, when we started publishing and printing once again and soft cover version and so forth. And then we began our Blog Talk Radio broadcast in 13,014. That started a new shift, and that was the beginning of the solar maximum period. There's a maximum number of sunspots and so forth. You begin to see solar flares and so forth. We began the process of Blog Talk Radio broadcasting. And since that point, we've released over 350 Blog Talk Radio broadcasts. The majority of them are 2 hours plus. For those who know, you can download the archives of every broadcast for free, of course. Of course, that same year, we began to release the soft cover versions of our books. We started off with 7. Then we increased later that year to 10. Then 3 more. By the end of the summer, we were at 13. Then we added 2 more. We were at 15 and so forth. Then the following year, we added more books. And now we're up to 31. We will have 33 out very soon. But we started that process. We were at the solar maximum. So there was an explosion of activity. A series of Blog Talk Radio broadcasts, and then a number of books, and we released the ebook versions of our 31 books, starting off with those 7, and then 10, and 13, and 15, and 17, and so forth. The ebook versions we release as free downloads, and people can purchase the soft cover versions, but the ebook versions are free downloads because we want this information accessible to our people. Even if they're unemployed, they don't have funds, we can't tell people that you can't learn about yourself, learn the truth about Jesus never existing, Moses never existing, Muhammad never existing, learning the truth about ancestry, religion, ritual practice, and so forth. We can't tell people you can't learn that unless you have some money. If you don't have money, you're just going to have to stay ignorant. It will be unconscionable for us to take that position, specifically when we could simply enter all of these documents on a website and place a button where people can just click download and they can easily download. We can't hold that back and say, well, we can't do that because we won't make money if we don't do that. We have to make this information available. Number one, because that's just natural. We need to transfer knowledge, wisdom, culture intergenerationally and transcarnationally to our people. That's our obligation. Secondarily, there's so much misinformation, not only from the whites and their offspring, but Black people who are misinformed, as well as Black people who are charlatans, promoting themselves as priests, priestesses, spiritualists, educators, PhDs, ritualists, charlatans, some people simply ignorant, and some people deliberately misinforming our people, trying to, swindle our people out of large amounts of money, sex, control, whatever it is. So there's so much foolishness and misinformation going on the internet that that's another reason, another benefit of releasing the information for free. So even if people don't purchase up front, they can get that information and they can share it, and it begins to destroy and eradicate the foolishness. When we began to release these books, that explosion of activity during the solar maximum, 13,013, 13,014 into 15, that's the solar maximum. That was the explosion of broadcast, the explosion of books and so forth. Then we had our first Hoodoo Mind, Hoodoo Nation Festival. And then the following year in 13,016, we had our first Etchi Sign Ancestral Religious Reversion Conference. And then a few months after that, our first Ojida Mind, the Purified Nation, Nationism Conference and so forth. That activity was going. And then, of course, the following year, we continued that process. Now we just finished our fourth annual Hoodoo Mind Festival in this past October, the fourth annual Etchi Sign Conference in March, and this is our fourth annual Ojida Mind Purified Nation Afro-Rakani People in the Western Hemisphere Conference coming up on June 22nd here in Washington, D.C. If you would like to attend, you can you sign up. It's a free event. You're going to receive a free book on Ojida Mind, the Purified Nation, dealing with the principal values of nation building, nationism. It's a free event. You also receive a free book for attending and so forth. It's open to our people only, of course. Registration is required. You must register on our website, our separate social media network, the Ojida Mind Network, and so forth. And you can attend that conference. You'll see that information on our Facebook page. But this is the fourth annual for all three conferences. Of course, we did our Mesu Heru broadcasting with the four sons of Heru and that natural cycle of four, and why the fourth year is also a foundational year to build upon moving forward and so forth. But all of that was taking place in the midst of that solar maximum, and then coming down to the solar minimum at the end of this 11-year cycle. And at the end of this 11-year cycle, the monumental work that we released just a few months back is our first documentary film, Amarukafo Adebisa, African American Ancestral Divination, where we address and examine the forms of oracular divination that we preserved in our blood circles since we were forced into the Western Hemisphere over 300 years ago, and how we utilize these forms of oracular divination to inform ourselves and empower ourselves and guide ourselves on the best means to wage war against the whites and their offspring and force the end of enslavement in the Western Hemisphere. So it is five of us in the film, Rekit Kajara Nia Ya Nebit Het, representing the Fang ancestral tradition, the Ngengan tradition, which is the Fang tradition. We have Voodoo Queen Kalinda Laveau, representing the Voodoo tradition, which is the Ewe tradition in North America. We have Wabet Seshat Tout Ankwajet, representing the Ovambo tradition, which is the Gullah tradition, which is Wanga in North America. We have Mama Mawusi Ashakir representing the Juju tradition, which is the Yoruba tradition in North America. Myself, Ojirafo Kwesi Rodney Mpata Akan, representing the Hoodoo tradition, which is the Akan tradition in North America. All five of us are in the film talking about our forms of oracular divination that we've preserved in our blood circles over the past 300 plus years, that we still utilize these oracular divination systems today, just as our ancestresses and ancestors did, showing that we are not dependent on anyone outside of our blood circles to maintain our ancestral religious practices. We're not dependent on initiations from Nigeria, Ghana, South Africa, Afro-Rakai, any part of the continent. We're not dependent on the Caribbean. We have maintained our ancestral religious practices here in North America intact for centuries, and we are restoring that practice. So as we were coming to that solar minimum, that monumental work that's laying the seed, the foundation for the next cycle, that is our film, and we just released it. You can go and access the film and watch it on demand online. You can rent it for $11 online and watch it immediately. You can purchase it for $16 online and download it, watch it immediately. You can also purchase the DVD. It just came out a few months ago, and we went around the country, a number of different cities, as well as traveling to Canada to screen the film. And we will have more screenings in some more cities. We went to about 15 cities. We have more cities to go to. And that will be coming up in the summer as well, spring and summer. But now we're also in the solar minimum, reaching the end, but also the beginning of the new cycle. And this is why we're having the Dubako Akradim Bosom Training Intensive and Ritual Retreat. So that's just a snapshot of what's been going on with regard to this cycle. Beginning 13,008, but even beginning in 1997 to 12,997. Remember, the 11-year cycle is one half of a 22-year cycle. It takes 11 years for the north and south poles of the sun to flip, and then another 11 years for them to flip back into place. In 12,997, they were in position. They flipped by 13,008, or so-called 2008, and now they're flipping back to the same position they were this year as they were in 12,997. So we've gone through an entire 22-year cycle that is inclusive of the 22-year anniversary of our Wabo-Jida, oracular divination system within our Kwammu Maanam Arukai Tifimu, which we talk about in the film. In my section of the film, we talk about that. So that is significant for us as well. But this is what's been taking place. And when we look at the beginning of the cycle, the solar maximum in the middle, and the end of the cycle, when we look through those, it lines up harmoniously with the activity of Awusi operating through the sun. Awusi operating in harmony with Ra operating through the sun and these solar cycles. Even if you look at your physical health, even if you look at your interactions with the community and your family, even if you look at your spiritual development through these cycles, were you getting turned on to ancestral religion and culture in some form, 96, 97? What was taking place around 02, 03, 04, and so forth? What took place in 13,008? What took place around 13,013 and 14, and what's taking place now as we're winding down the end of this cycle and seeding the beginning of the next cycle. When you begin to assess that and you take that to your Nkomo, your ancestral shrine, then you'll begin to see how you've been operating in the context of these greater sunspot cycles or Awusi cycles, even without knowing it on the surface. Then you look at your own physical health and development, or in some cases, some people's deteriorating health and so forth. But it also gives you a window into how you can begin to overcome and begin to refortify yourself and edify yourself and strengthen yourself and get back on track. We just did a broadcast dealing with the Abosom Ya, the goddess Ya, and weight loss and ancestral ritual. We're going to release another piece to that, probably tonight or tomorrow and so forth. And you'll see it once it's released, dealing with one of the related Akradim Bosom divinities and so forth. But that's another piece with regard to that. So, as people are, if you have any questions or comments on the phone line, you can hit the number one. So we can see that your hand is raised. If you have any questions or comments on the phone line, on in the chat room, you must log in as a user in order to interact in the chat room. If you don't have a username, you can sign up for one quickly in Blog Talk. Now, we also just wanted to say for those who, there are a couple of things we had to announce. And we talked about this in the beginning of our previous broadcast. So this is an announcement. This is an alert. If this is an update. So we talked about in the beginning of our previous broadcast, our brother Jojo Asona. He was incarcerated for on a warrant for a charge that went back, a concealed carry charge violation in California that went back 5 years ago. He's in Atlanta now. We gave the details about that. Him and his wife Ama Asinye, they put the information out. They incarcerated him. They he's stopping for a broken taillight. They realized he had a warrant, which was simply a violation of his probation. It was a driving violation that they said violated his probation. He never had any jail time from the original concealed carry charge. They just gave him probation because it was not a violent offense and so forth. He was going through that process. He eventually got involved in ancestral culture, religion. He met Amma. They got together. He moved from California, moved to Atlanta. They got married. They've just been married for over a year. They've been doing great nation building work. But then this came up from the past. They incarcerated him for the violation, probation violation. They were talking about extraditing him from Atlanta back to California simply to face the violation of his probation charge. She was trying to raise funds for a lawyer through the fundraising crowdfund site because the lawyers were asking, the lawyers asked for a $5,000 retainer. That's just a standard retainer and so forth. Every lawyer that she's spoken to, whether it was in Atlanta or California, said the case is an easy case because it was a nonviolent offense. He had already been on probation, he was doing his thing. It was a driving violation that caused him to violate his probation and so forth. As far as they're concerned, it can be taken care of rather quickly. They were trying to take care of it so that he wouldn't be extradited back to California simply to face a charge and more than likely just get a fine so he wouldn't lose his job. And his job was actually holding on to his job because they really appreciate his work. But she just gave an update today. She saw him today. They're talking about extraditing him. So they may be sending him back to California within the next few days. But even if they do that, you can still contribute to the crowdfund because they still need to get an attorney so they can simply, he won't have to depend on a public defender. They can get an attorney. They go to court. They negotiate for basically a fine to pay whatever fine they have to pay so that he can get back on a plane. At most, they may make him can serve out the rest of his probation or have a probation for another 12 months or something like that. He can get back on a plane and fly back to Atlanta so he can get back to work and get back to a normal life. So go to the fundraiser.com/JoJo Asona. Fundraiser is spelled FundRazer.com/JoJo JoJo Asona ASO NA fundraiser.com/JoJo Asona and please contribute. I think they're at about 8% the last time I checked. We have hundreds of people who listen to the broadcast and so forth. Even just a $10 donation will assist when you have a few hundred people given that, given donations like that, they can get to that amount rather quickly. They're already at about 8% or something like that, with about 18 people contributing. So they can get to that point where they can raise enough funds to retain an attorney when more people participate, when we participate in a communal fashion. So please support that effort. Also, the other announcement, the other piece is we just posted an option for Savannah. Savannah, Georgia, this coming weekend is our first Dubaku Akradim Bosom Training Intensive and Ritual Retreat. It's a 2-day event. The training piece happens on Saturday. Then the second day was simply a Gullah Heritage Tour at Pinpoint, Georgia, and so forth. So that's the 2-day event. You receive the four books, Akradim Bosom Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4, also vegan food and so forth for the fee. Some people weren't able to do the both days, so we give the option. We just recently posted this. You have the option of just doing the first day, which is Saturday, and instead of paying the entire fee, you can just pay the $60 fee just for Saturday. The $100 fee is for 2 days. But if you can't do both days, you just want to come on Saturday to go through the training piece, then you can just do the $60 for Saturday. That includes the four books and the vegan food and the full training going through all of the deities and so forth. That is a new option that we just placed on the website. So you can go and register. You'll see that new option added on the site. We also had a few people who had to cancel and switch their reservation for a different city because we're going to different cities and so forth. Because of some family issues, people had to switch their city from Savannah to, another city. So we have some spaces open in the Savannah upcoming event this weekend. So if you would like to join us in Savannah, either for one day, all day Saturday, basically from 10 o'clock a.m. to 4 p.m., 6 hour training the first few hours, we do training, then we have vegan lunch, then the last few hours we do the training. If you want to attend just for Saturday, or if you want to attend Saturday and Sunday, we have some space open, so go to the site for that. We also have June 2nd, Washington, D.C. The same training is a one day training. All of the other days are one day trainings and so forth. June 9th, we are in Atlanta, Georgia. June 15th, we're in Philadelphia. June 16th, we're in Toronto, in Canada. June 29th, we're in Durham, North Carolina. And then we just added July 13th, where we will be in Detroit. We also may have another date for July 6th. We may also have another date for June 23rd, as well as June 30th for different states. So be on the lookout for that. But right now, we are at the deadline for, I'm sorry, we also on Monday, Memorial Day, Monday, which is the 27th, next Monday, the 27th, Jacksonville, Florida. We have some space left open for that Jacksonville, Florida date. So if you would like to attend the retreat in Jacksonville, it's $60 if you want to pay the $30 deposit just to save your space. And this is for all the retreats. You can pay the $30 deposit to save your space, and then you can pay the other $30 later on. But Jacksonville, Florida is Monday, May 27th. Savannah is this Saturday and Sunday, 25th and 26th. Monday is Jacksonville. June 2nd, Sunday is Washington, D.C. June 9th, Atlanta. June 15th, Philadelphia. June 16th, Toronto. June 29th, Durham, North Carolina. July 13th, Detroit, and so forth. So these are the various dates, and that's the announcement. So if there's no questions, we can end the broadcast here. We just wanted to bring to light and for you to look into your own life, look into your own life cycle. Look back over 13,008 to this point, this past 11-year cycle, including the solar maximum, which is in the middle around 13,013, 13,014. Look over that past 11 years and look at the solar cycle and the events that took place within your life. Then look at 13,008 back to 1997, 12,997, and look at that 11-year cycle. What took place in your life beginning at the beginning of that cycle, at the beginning of that cycle up until 13,008, including the middle part, which was around 02, 03 into 04 during that solar maximum period. When we begin to become aware of these cycles, we don't have to be incidentally aware of them. We can begin to predict and understand what is coming forward. There's going to be a surge in energy in the midst of this cycle. We can take advantage of that surge in energy. When there's a cooling of energy, we can tailor our activities and our development and our institution building to take advantage of that coolness and receptiveness of that energy. When we release this film, it's at the end of this solar cycle. This cooling down period is a time for people to absorb, become cool, receptive, and draw in this information. So when we begin this next cycle, people are grounded in their ancestral religious traditions, born of their spirit genetic blood circles here in the Western Hemisphere, and begin to build forward, establish their traditions, restore them within their own clans, begin to restore them with their children and grandchildren and cousins and parents and so forth, siblings. So we took advantage of that hot period in the middle of that cycle, releasing broadcasts, releasing the books, doing presentations. That's when we were going from city to city to city. Some of you recall in 13,013, we were going from city to city. Every week, we were in a different city presenting on the Okra complex, the soul of Akanfo. Then we started doing the broadcast, released the books, and so forth. There was a great deal of activity. that moved us right into our conferences, then into our retreat, and now into the film, and now into our Dubako trainings. So this Dubako Akradim Bosom training intensive and ritual retreats in these various states, this is institution building. We're reestablishing the veneration of these deities that govern all natural cycles in creation and govern the 11 major systems of our bodies. We must understand their functioning, just like you need to understand the functioning of your organ systems. You don't have to understand them to be able to walk around and function in the world. You don't have to know everything about biology to function. But when you become older, you become mature, growing to adulthood and so forth, you begin to understand. When you study your circulatory system or your nervous system or your renal system or your reproductive system or your endocrine system or exocrine system, the more you understand about it, the better decisions you make dietarily, sleep-wise, activity-wise, even emotion-wise, regulating your emotional output and so forth, you begin to live in harmony with the nature of these biological structures within you, and then also spiritual. The more you know about your physiological structure, the better decisions you make so you can live optimally. The more you know about your spiritual anatomy, the better decisions you make so you can function in the world optimally and execute your function and not create a great deal of obstacles in life. The more you know about the Abosom, the divinities, as they govern creation and natural cycles in creation, the better you are able to harmonize your activities, your thoughts, intentions, actions, behaviors with these cycles so you don't keep running into obstacles, whether it's relationship obstacles, financial obstacles, occupational obstacles, social obstacles, family obstacles, and so forth. You begin to learn how to operate in a harmonious fashion to avoid and circumvent unnecessary obstacles and build upon the strengths that you've developed. So that's part of our culture. That's as an obligation. We're obligated to gain this kind of information, incorporate it, transmit it to our children, grandchildren, and so forth, but build our own mind, build our nation based on these firm principles. So we're going to end the broadcast here. If you have any questions or comments on the retreats, please, just hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on our Gmail account, kwesiakhan@gmail.com, hit us up on ojirafoakhan on the Facebook page, kwesiakhan on the Facebook page, the Ojira Mind Network and so forth, to sign up for the Ojira Mind Conference and so forth. So that's all we wanted to hit on. We just wanted to hit on that sunspot cycle because today is our Wusida, today is Sunday. We're just about to move into this next cycle. We wanted to capture that on this last Awusida or Sunday before we started the Dubako Akradim Bosom Training Intensive Ritual Retreats next weekend. We wanted to capture that and just alert people to what's taking place. So, Yerase, we thank you for tuning into the broadcast. And Yebeshi Abio, we will meet again. That's all.
Thank you.